This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Andrew Gunling is such a psychopath.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
Just horse. You're right, it was Nom. I gotta give a closer look to Peter's region.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's Andrew Gunling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
And tonight's ENN is brought to you by Sloman's. Andrew Gunling in for Peter Rosenberg, the rare one-on-one Andrew and Don ENN vehicle. I love it. And let's start out by saying hello to both Don and Michael.
You don't really take a deep dive on the people that you know.
I really don't care that much.
Say hello to Michael.
813-800-POOP.
Another hello to Don.
What am I going to read, highlights?
A hello to Peter.
You want a little Don and Dick action?
Wow. And finally, a hello to myself. Drop the call. All right, we begin ENN tonight, Don, with the big story, of course, the Rangers, about an hour from now, Game 5 in Carolina. Coverage of Game 5 immediately follows us here on 98.7. Just a reminder, also be listening tomorrow. You're going to have a chance all throughout the day to win tickets to Game 6. Two pairs will be given away on DiPietro and Rothenberg in the morning, and then four pairs on the K-Show here in the afternoon. As for this one, Don, Carolina has been the ultimate Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde team this postseason. 6-0 at home, 0-5 on the road. Goal differential, plus 15 at home, minus 13 on the road. How worrisome is this for the Rangers tonight?
Well, just they know they have a margin for error, right? Because they know they got to take one of the next two on the road if they're going to win the series. Even if they're going to win Game 6, you know, you got to do it. You got to figure it out. The numbers, as you gave some, I'll give some more that I'm going to mention in the pregame. 6-0, they've won 8 straight at home. Their last loss at home was a 3-0 defeat to the Detroit Red Wings back on April 14th. It's a long time ago. And that stall line has really shut down Mika Zibanejad. But, you know, you're right. They were averaging 1.6 goals on the road, 4.2 allowed. Meanwhile, when they're home, they score 3.7 and allow 1.2. It's a completely different team. Ronta's a completely different goaltender. But the Rangers played terrific in Game 4, and they almost, a breaker here or there, could have at least split the first two games in Carolina. So they should not walk in here and believe that Carolina's completely unbeatable. Maybe they're due to lose a game at home.
And in terms of the importance of Game 5 in a 2-2 series, the Rangers, with a 3-2 lead in a best-of-seven series, have won 16 of the 18 series that they've been involved in. Carolina has never lost when up 3-2 in a series. So not all of that obviously matters for this series. Those are different players and past histories. But still interesting just in the importance of winning this game tonight.
And overall, the team that wins Game 5 in a 2-2 series has gone on to win 79% of the time. I mean, that's... You can't ignore those numbers. It doesn't mean that it's impossible, but it just tells you how huge this is statistically in the past of having to then win the next two. But the Rangers faced elimination, Andrew, 3 times in the series against Pittsburgh.
Right.
So they really showed you that they don't put anything past them.
Yep. Well, the pregame starts with Don in about 25 minutes. Staying with playoff hockey for a sec, I know they wound up losing in overtime, but if you haven't seen Nathan MacKinnon's goal against the Blues last night, just type it in on Twitter. Check it out. Here's what it sounded like on Altitude Sports.
Nathan MacKinnon had a hat trick in the playoffs last year versus the Blues. MacKinnon with 2 goals. MacKinnon in between the circles. MacKinnon, he scores! Oh, my goodness gracious me! Nathan MacKinnon, throw the chapeau! The Mac Attack is back with a goal and a play that you will hear and see over and over and over and over. I don't believe it. I simply do not believe it. Nathan MacKinnon goes right to left, coast to coast. He took the moment. He has 3, and the Avalanche are up by 1 with 2:46 to go in the third period.
Now, that's probably the only thing that hurts it. Now, you could still watch the highlight of this forever, but when he scored that goal, you thought it had just won them the series.
Yeah.
But then St. Louis came back and scored with under a minute to go and then won it in overtime, so that series gets extended. But it's still, Don, got to be one of the goals of the postseason so far.
It really is, and it just felt like watching it, all right, series over, they're moving on. And I still think they will, but give St. Louis credit. They've got a heart of a champion, and they stayed in that, and they go back to St. Louis tomorrow for Game 6, and who knows. But The one thing the NHL has really had trouble doing is getting their best players to play on the biggest stages. Like the NBA does it every year, right? Mm-hmm. But the NHL, if they can get a conference final, Edmonton, Colorado. All right, does it sound sexy, Edmonton, Colorado? McKinnon versus McDavid, two of the best players, if not 1-2 in the league. You throw Draisaitl in there too for Edmonton. That's sexy. And that would be tremendous for hockey because those guys are just captivating to watch. But Colorado and Edmonton still have work to do. Edmonton's playing tonight with a chance to advance, but, you know, Calgary still can get back into that series. But, boy, am I looking forward to a possibility of Edmonton-Colorado. That would be sexy. And Rangers-Lightning would be, too.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're right. It would be great for this sport to get McDavid and Draisaitl into a conference final, I would think. Don, let's see. In the NBA, the all-NBA first, second, and third teams were released a couple days ago.
Right.
In the midst of that, we saw that Kyrie Irving, he didn't make any of the teams, but he did get one solitary third-team vote. Now, on the set of NBA Countdown, I think it was last night, Jalen Rose revealed that he was the one who gave Kyrie that vote. Now, he apologized for casting that vote. He admitted it was a mistake, but that was not good enough for Stephen A. Smith. Here was Stephen A.'s reaction when he found out that Jalen Rose gave Kyrie that third-team vote.
I want you to explain what in God's name made you think at any point that Kyrie Irving, who played 29 games this year,
okay,
missed 53 games.
Okay.
How in God's name is he a third team or NBA on any day, any hour, any minute of this season? How?
First off, I don't think you heard the part about I said that was a mistake.
I know.
That was a bad decision.
I asked why, how you make the bad decision.
Let me tell you how I made that. Because in my mind, this was a unique season, Greeny. And based on that unique season, when Kyrie Irving decided to play for whatever reason, he was as dominant as any player in the league. And he was one of the top 15 performers when he was in uniform.
Let me stop right there. I got him, y'all. See, Jalen, you're not getting away with this. And let me tell you why you're not getting away with it. First of all, nobody's ever questioned the greatness of Kyrie Irving as a talent. We know he's box office. He's that spectacular. Not only me, you were on the record stating his lack of availability, his unwillingness to take one for the team, to get vaccinated, to be held out because of the New York mandate, disqualified him from everything. And then behind our back, like a thief in the night, you slid in his vote for him.
Hey,
for him. He don't even get to be all of NBA G League after the way he disappeared for the whole daggone season.
That's fair.
To be crazy.
That's fair. That's fair. I own it.
I love Jalen Rose, and he did admit it was a mistake, but Steven's right. Like, how was there – Jalen says that the season was unique. Wasn't that unique.
Well,
we're only playing 29 games in a season is still not nearly enough, I would think, to be awarded any kind of significant honor. Third team, NBA, like – Jalen's better than that. That is weird.
Yeah, and follow me here, Andrew. I'm trying to figure out exactly where the mistake was made. Like, he caved so quickly. So obviously there was no conviction in the pick. So, like, what was the mistake? That he just didn't put a lot of thought into it? That he just kind of went with Kyrie because he didn't want to do the deep dive and more work on who to put in there? Because he caved and folded so quickly. So what's the mistake? Did he honestly believe it and now no longer does because of the pushback? Or is the mistake in not really doing the work?
Maybe the mistake is like, because you remember Greeny admitted he made a mistake too with his MVP vote. He said he voted for Jokic over Embiid, and in hindsight, that was a mistake. You wonder, like, when some of these guys vote for these big awards, maybe it's just spur of the moment. Like, maybe Jalen just watched Kyrie in that, because Kyrie had that stretch of games where he was truly unbelievable to watch. He was hitting threes, getting into the lane. He was scoring like 30, 40 every night. So maybe after that, there was a game where Jalen was just like, you know what? I've seen enough. This guy's at least getting a third team vote from me. And then with the benefit of hindsight, and you can see kind of the whole season and remove yourself from just like a week of incredible play, maybe you change your mind. Like, I'm sure that happened with Embiid, because the Sixers had a key three-game losing streak late in the season, and I think that's when Jokic won the award over Embiid.
Mm. Could be, because, again, I get a chance, and it's an honor, to be able to vote for the Jack Adams, which is Coach of the Year in the NHL.
Nice.
The broadcasters get the vote for it. And they now they do it via email, but they used to, like, send you a ballot and you fill it out. To me, a mistake is quickly filling it out, putting it in the mail, or hitting send on the email, and then going, oh, God, I forgot about Andrew Burnett in Florida. That's a mistake.
Right.
Because if you do the work, then you would go over everybody, check the stats, check the standings, and then you would be able to put your top three in there. Then there would be no mistake. So, because you can only go by what, when you had to get, you got to get your vote in at a certain time. So anything that happens after that doesn't mean anything. So to me, when I hear mistake, it's that you quickly filled it out and then you're like, oh my God, how did I forget? How did I forget the Greek freak? Or, you know,
maybe
I wonder if they would admit that.
Yeah, I don't know. That I know that's the kind of thing that would keep you up at night when you were doing your daily dons, just like the idea that you could miss something obvious.
But that, you know, that's obvious. That's when, because there have been a few times where I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't think about that. Right. And I was going to do a Ray Liotta top five.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I felt like a lot of conviction to fill it out.
So you mentioned that. That was actually what I was going to bring up next. Man. Sad news. Ray Liotta dies at the age of 67. He was in the Dominican Republic filming a new movie. Most famous, of course, for his role as Henry Hill in Goodfellas, but also has, I mean, it's kind of, in terms of time on screen, kind of a small but hugely important role in one of the most famous sports movies of all time, as Shoeless Joe Jackson in Field of Dreams. Here's maybe, I don't know, if you're ranking important scenes in that movie, this is one of the biggest.
What are you grinning at, you ghost?
If you build it, he will come.
And then Shoeless Joe walks off into the cornfield and kind of recedes and disappears. Mm. Kevin Costner tweeted about it, saying, devastated to hear the news of Ray Liotta's passing. While he leaves an incredible legacy, he'll always be Shoeless Joe Jackson in my heart. And then he includes the scene when he's pitching to Shoeless Joe, and Shoeless Joe smashes a comebacker right at him. And then Kevin Costner, off of that, says, what happened in that moment in that film was real. God gave us that stunt. Now God has Ray.
Listen, The Godfather's one of the, if not the greatest movies of all time, right?
Yes.
But it was not in my wheelhouse because it came out when I was 4 years old. And I didn't see it until, believe it or not, I got to college.
Oh, wow.
So, but Goodfellas, when that came out, I don't know if there's been a movie that had more of an impact on me immediately than that. Like, saw it in the theater. I remember my brother got a bootleg copy of it, and he was making copies on VHS for, like, friends. And then when it came out on VHS, we, you know, bought it, wore it out, watched it. That movie, it made such an impact. He did such an incredible job. So if that's all he's ever remembered for, bravo, because it was a tremendous performance, and what an impactful movie it was. But when you start looking at, like, a top five, because he was in a lot of things, but really, all right, Field of Dreams, which wasn't a big role, but certainly is significant in the movie.
Like,
it wasn't like a lot of screen time.
I don't consider it like Ray Liotta's in the movie, but it's a Kevin Costner movie. You know, like
Yeah, of course. Copland, I thought he was outstanding in. Mm-hmm. Just a guilty pleasure, Wild Hogs was kind of a funny movie. He was in that with John Travolta and Tim Allen. I don't know if you ever saw that.
No.
But if you look, if you go to IMDb, he was in a lot of things, but really nothing even close to Goodfellas. So I don't want to say he was typecast, but certainly that's kind of what you feel like he's only remembered for. And I thought he did a good job in The Many Saints of Newark.
I was actually just watching him recently. It's a show on Amazon Prime called Hannah that he was in this season of, and he was excellent in it. He's great in everything that he's in.
But sick, yeah, just – but – I don't know how you feel about Goodfellas, but that's going to be forever in my top five and such an outstanding, outstanding movie. But it just came. I was 22 when it came out. It was like right in my wheelhouse, and I hope that it's all over TV over the next couple of weeks because I'm dying to see it again. But 67, that's a shame. He seemed like a real good actor. He seemed like a really nice guy. Didn't seem pretentious. I know he did like a guest spot on Modern Family, which was kind of funny. As Barbara Streisand's neighbor, like, it's just it was. He I thought he had a sense of humor about himself, and I'm gonna miss him.
Yeah, certainly.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sticking with some baseball, Don, Mets Old Timers Day is starting to take shape.
Yeah.
Some big names taking part. Doc Gooden says he told the Amazing But True podcast that he'll be there and he'll be pitching. Daryl Strawberry says he'll be there taking part in the weekend, but he won't be playing. He said, sorry to say, I don't think I'll be able to play. My knees and shoulder won't let me swing a bat anymore. It's the wear and tear and the years catching up with me. I will be there supporting the guys who will be on the field. Don, is this is their first one since 94?
Yeah, I grew up with it when I was a kid, you know, and they had it when they started. So you don't want to say they stole it from the Yankees. They have their own now, and now they've got so many players. When they first started, when I was a kid, they'd had a lot of players that didn't play for the Mets, just to fill it out because the Mets were so young that they didn't have like a lot of old timers. So they had a lot of Dodgers, a lot of Giants, stuff like that. But now, you know, they can fill out the roster. It's a shame. I'd love to see Darryl play, but you know, Doc, that's great, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. August 27th, it's a nice late summer prize before we get to the fall.
Yeah, what is the series against the Rockies? I think it is, and yeah, it should be fun. I haven't seen the full list. I know other guys have committed to it, but I feel like there's a generation of Met fans that are going to start to be made to feel old. Like, I think Daniel Murphy is committed to playing this in Old Timers Day. Like, there are Met fans that aren't that old that are going to see him in Old Timers Day and think, wow, maybe I am old.
But think about it, man. 86, you're talking, 36 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, that's a long time ago. And even those 90s teams, I haven't seen the list yet, but some of them are going to really, for people like me, Andrew, it's going to be tough reading that list. Because they consider them old-timers, and they're younger than me.
Yeah.
Old-timer means that you're older than me, not somebody that is a contemporary or somebody that's younger than me. Like, Daniel Murphy's significantly younger than me. What is he, 36?
Yeah. He, as far as old-timers' days go, he only just stopped playing, so he is a young one. But just the fact that he's in it is, I mean, like, I remember that series, him against what he was doing against the Cubs in that NLCS, like, that was – you know, yesterday. It was really only a few years ago. It wasn't that long ago, but yeah. So that should be a fun weekend later this summer for the Mets. Let's see, Don, before we wind it down here, on this day in 1993, one of the all-time great sports bloopers, probably, I would say, on the Mount Rushmore of sports bloopers. You want to guess, or should I just hit it?
I'm going to try to guess.
Okay.
Was today the day the ball went off of Jose Canseco's head?
High fly ball, right field deep. Canseco back to the track. Look it up. It is off his head, it looks like. And over the top. A home run. That looked like it hit Canseco over the top of the head. We'll have to check the replay. Oh, it did. It went over the fence. David Hall's laughing out there, so it must hit something funny.
Well, you're good, Don. You're very good.
I just figured it was around this time. And I think it's a great call, because how often as a baseball announcer do you expect that to happen?
Yeah, he's not there's a little bit of confusion in his voice, but he's on it.
Yeah.
He right away says it hit him in the head and goes over the fence and it's a home run. Yeah, so he nails the call, but his tone is the right level of confusion.
Yeah.
For what's happened.
It's a great kick, because really it can't hit any other part of his body and go over, but just the fact to hit him at the top of the head. Such a tough blooper, but
yeah, I was trying to think after that of the Mount Rushmore of sports bloopers. That, I think, is on it. I think, sadly for Jet fans, the butt fumble is on it. And then, those are the ones that stand out to me. I'd have to think a little deeper about some of the other ones.
But that's a tough one. Because Buckner, okay, the ball went between his legs. You've seen that. But how often do you see a quarterback fumble the football because he ran into his own offensive lineman? Or, you know, like I said, a ball go off the top of somebody's head and end up being a home run.
Right. These are unique bloopers.
Who was it on the – it's happened a couple of times, but I remember a Giant pitcher where the ball got stuck in his glove and he had to throw to glove the first base.
Oh, I've seen that, but I don't remember who the pitcher was.
Was it Kruko? It might have been Mike Kruko, but it's definitely a Giant Met game. He got him out, but just something you don't see every day.
And there's the clip of, who was it, Steve Lyons, who took his pants off at first base?
He just forgot where he was.
Right. Well, that'll do it for ENN, brought to you by Sloman's. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME to receive a free doorbell camera with the installation of your Sloman Shield. Keep your family safe. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME.
I mean, I'm biased, but what a great job you do.
Thank
on
you.
This. I mean, you touch everything. You just, it's really such a good time. I really appreciate you. Well, and you know what? I think we should do it again tomorrow.
We certainly will. Peter is, he'll be off again tomorrow, and we'll be right back at it.
All right, we'll be back at it as well, 3 o'clock. But coming up next, a little pregame, Rangers and the Hurricanes, Game 5. And it's all happening right here on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.